Board of Supervisors will reconvene. We need to go back to 6B, and there's action on that. I need a motion to approve and the chair to sign this.
Move to approve.
Second. Okay. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Thank you.
We are at item 6C, community development. Good morning.
Good morning.
This came from
The property owner and operator, Greg Jewell.
Greg, thank you.
You're
ready.
Okay, sorry. All right, thank you. This is Bernadette Susan, Associate Planner. So this morning we have a possible proposal for the Springhill Mine, which is currently located within the city of Mount Shasta. They're potentially going to expand their mine operation into county jurisdiction. So Greg Jewell, the property owner and mine operator, is here this morning to give a little bit of background on that and answer questions if you may have any. Staff has also included a recommendation from planning's perspective, being as planning is the division that manages the county surface mining operation or surface mining program. Anyhow, so I'll pass it over to Greg so he can give you a little bit of history on the mine and the operation and what their plans are.
Thank you, Brenda.
Good morning.
Morning. I'm Greg Jewell. I'm one of the owners of Suzerain Mix in Mount Shasta. We purchased this property, this business, in 2010. And from Burl Souza, it's named after. And he incorporated in 1974. So it's been around a long time. I want to thank the planning department and for their insight and for preparing the staff report. I thought it was really well written, and I expressed a lot of our concerns completely. Susan Redmix has been supplying concrete and construction aggregates in the South County for decades. We are the only company that is down there. And we've been in continuous operation for this whole time. And we're a benefit, I believe, to the county in a lot of ways. I think the primary way is that we are important for the infrastructure. We've rebuilt the, we're involved in rebuilding the Mount Shasta sewer system. We've modified the Dunsmuir sewer system, both to dump into the Sacramento River. We've been involved with rebuilding the general infrastructure of Weed and Mount Shasta and Dunsmuir with sewer lines and such. I think we're also a benefit to the private side of the business. You know, we're supplying materials for home building, for retail, for recreational, environmental, and for commercial construction, all in the South County. I think that we are a strong partner with the community. Our company and our employees, we support a lot of different organizations and teams. Most notably, I mean, just some of the ones I ran across and were trying to jot down, Mount Shasta ski team, South County swim team, soccer and baseball teams of all sorts in and around our area. And we support community improvements. We support the Trail Association. We help with the community gardens in Mount Shasta and in Dunsmuir. We're an active supporter of the Sisson Museum, one of my passions. We support the local service clubs. We support the fish pens in Lake Siskiyou. That's fun. I enjoy that a lot. Also, the Junior Livestock Auction. You'll see us there every year. You'll see us at the Golden County Fair. You'll see us at the Montague's Tempe. We're involved with those organizations as well. And to continue that support, that's why we're here. Our current site has been, we've been mining that for 45 years. It's been about time. And in that regard, this is what we want to bring to the board to continue that longevity of the company. As Bernadette mentioned, 3 years ago, we purchased 160 acres adjacent to our existing quarry that's in the county. The existing quarry was originally in the county. It was all the planning and development and the mine reclamation plan was all under county guidance. And in 1987, the city of Mount Shasta annexed, I think it was 700 acres or something, to the north end of town, which included our property, our quarry. The city of Mount Shasta at the time accepted the reclamation plan, the mining plan that the county had developed, that we developed with the county. Sometime, and that was just a mine site. We just mined the material. We didn't process it there. In 96, Sousa Radimix applied for a permit to put the crushing and screen equipment in the quarry, on the quarry site, which had modified the use permit for the city, and we did that. And that's the way it is just now. We mine and crush and screen the material in the quarry and on the mine site. That material that we use for the concrete is hauled across the freeway and we use it at the concrete plant. So we do share a property line with the new property of the city. And as mentioned before in the staff report, our challenge is selecting or having an agency to be the lead agency. The state of California does not allow a quarry, a continuously quarry, to have two lead agencies. You can't have one group monitoring the left side of a quarry and another group monitoring the right side of the quarry. If they share a property line, then it has to be a single agency to determine who is the lead agency for the quarry, doing the reclamation, mine inspections, and providing the financial assurances for reclamation. So that's put on us by the state. And we've met previously with the city planner in Mount Shasta, with EMS Engineering, who's going to do some of our engineering work, and Siskiyou Planning. And it is our hope that the county becomes the lead agency. That's what we would hope. The big reason for that one, there's several reasons, but one of the primary reasons is the city of Mount Shasta just can't do it. They don't have any qualified people to do mine inspections. You have to be trained to do that. You have to have state training. They have a single person planning department. That's the person's role. So in fact, last year, we paid, Sousa Radimix paid for outside help for the city to do the mine inspections because they just couldn't do it. And what I might point out is that the county does have all that expertise. They do have people that inspect mines. They do have people that know about mine reclamation. They do have people that know about financial assurances and the requirements that we have to put up for bonding. And they have a system to do it. Right? That's kind of important. There's, I think, about 31 mines in the county, they have a way to manage those effectively. Another point that's been made in the state is it's okay to have a mine in two different jurisdictions. It's okay to have a mine in one county and in another county, for instance, or a mine in the county and in the city limits. That's okay. There's no restriction against that. There are multiple mines in California that have had this, I don't know if it's a problem, but have had this situation. The current property that we've purchased, the new property, is timber harvest zoning. Now, I'm not sure if the city of Mount Shasta has any knows anything about timber harvest plans or has much experience with a reclamation plan that would involve replanting trees. I just don't think they don't have that, may not have that expertise. So I think the county in that regard is much better positioned to understand that, and as we implement it, understand the reclamation. I think one of the problem things that for me personally is that if we annex the new parcel into the city, it just creates a lot of uncertainty for suzerainers. We are not sure how that would go. My personal concern is that it would eventually affect our customers being able to supply materials, because I think I don't know. I worry about the time it takes to do that. It could be literally years. And we spoke with the city of Mount Shasta planner, and he's in favor of the county being the lead agency. They're not opposed to that at all. So that would be one other point, I guess, as to why we'd like the county to be the lead agency. The staff prepared a great staff report. I compliment them. And they had some bullet items at the bottom, the recommended action. I guess as a business owner and concerning the our position in the community, I would prefer the fourth bullet point. That would be to work with the city on an agreement for the county to become a lead agency, having permitting and enforcement authority for the entire mine site, including the existing Spring Hill mine that is within the city's jurisdiction. That would be our preference. And I want to throw out, just as a note, Suzerainix has reclaimed mine sites effectively. We had a mine site at the Upton property on Upton Road where a ready mix mine is. When I came there, it was a mine site, existing mine site. It had not been reclaimed. The previous owners, I don't know, they just didn't want to do it or whatever, but we took over that property. We put in an amendment to the mining plan and to the reclamation plan, and we followed that amendment, and we closed that mine, and successfully closed that mine. So it's no longer on a mine. We do know how to do this. And I think it points to Sousa Ready Mix's responsibility to the county and to the SMARA, the Surface Mining and Reclamation Act requirements. We're in it for the long game. I think, I see this business being there, I wouldn't say forever, but for a long time, well past my ownership, is my hope. We've already started working towards the requirements of a use permit and a reclamation plan. We've contracted with Jefferson Resource Company. Now, they're a full-service forestry and biological consulting firm, and we've tasked them with the revegetation plan, the biological resource studies, the cultural resource studies. They will be responsible for the responding to SMARA questions. We have asked them to also prepare the timber harvest plan, and there's something new to me, a greenhouse gas calculation for timber harvest. They're going to work on that too. We've contracted with Keith Hamlin, with land designers, to prepare and work on the reclamation plan itself and the permit application. And with Morgan Eastlick and ENS Engineering, who will prepare the actual mining plan, do the surveys and topographical work. In that regard, we've done some of this. We've completed the biological resource studies, we've completed those cultural resource studies, and ENS engineers have already put out their survey markers and done the flyover to prepare a detailed topographical maps. All that, you know, we have to have that if we're going to prepare a mining plan. One thing I want to also mention is that we don't plan to change what we're doing. We're going to continue to mine with the way we're mining now. There's the same crushing and screening plant that's existed now. We'll just bring the material to it. We don't plan to change that process at all. There's an office and scales, commercial scales there. We'll continue to weigh materials and we'll continue administration, administer the mine from there. The access roads will be the same. The equipment's the same. We currently mine with a front-end loader and a dump truck to haul material to the crusher. We also push with a bulldozer and sometimes with an excavator to pile up material for the loaders to dig, because they can't sometimes dig it. That'll be the same. We don't plan to change that at all. There was some question, and I want to answer up front, but we don't do any blasting. We don't have to use explosives to break up the ground. And we don't expect to use that in the rest of this quarry. This is just a continuation of our existing deposit. So we don't expect to have to do any drastic things like that to mine it, to harvest this material. That's kind of what I had, unless you, and I assume you might have some questions for us or some that our team can answer.
So before we let you go, on this bullet point four, that it doesn't appear that there would be any annexation. It would just be the permitting and the lead agency. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's not to say that, I mean, we had an existing mine, and while it was in operation, it was annexed into the city. So, I mean, it's not to say you can't have an existing mine operating and have an annexation later in the life of the project. I mean, I guess it's certainly possible.
I'm not advocating one way or the other. I just wanted clarification because I know that's a different process altogether.
It seems to be different, and I'm honestly not fully informed on that process. I could think that would be a very, let's just say, long process.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a very long process.
Okay.
Just to follow up on that question, it might be for you or for staff, timeline for annexation either way, what's the approximate, maybe I'm asking a question that's an unknown out there, but is there any approximate how long it takes to annex or not annex property?
Good morning, Haley Lane, Planning Director. So annexation would have to go through the LAFCO process.
Yeah.
So once someone submits a full annexation application, we deem it complete, then there is an outside tax sharing negotiation process that occurs with the county and whatever the jurisdiction is. That is statutorily, I think, 60 days up to 90 days.
Right.
And then if not, there's an additional 30 days for additional time. So that plus processing of the application and posting it and getting it ready. We're looking at a few months out.
Right. Less than a year, but a few months out.
That would be our hope. Yes. Yeah.
Just wanted to get a relevant timeline.
Sure, yeah. And that's just why I noted what statutorily, the timelines are, but obviously there's other elements with projects.
Sure, yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I was going to see the staff come up and give us an idea about the proposal.
Hold on.
Heard of that.
It
didn't matter. No,
she don't want
them. So if the county took on the lead agency with an agreement with the city, give us, I guess, as Jules indicated, this bullet point four is for what they ultimately would like. So how does that fit with us?
Ripien Community Development Director, Mama Bernadette Sisson. The recommended motion that we have here, from our perspective, is the most viable one, essentially. keeps all the jurisdiction cohesive, essentially, and then the inspection aspect of it. Obviously, at this point in time, we're more qualified to do mine inspections. Jurisdiction can easily consult with a consulting firm to achieve those. So as far as simplicity and consistency, we think that the best action would be to have an annexation into the city of Mount Shasta with this property. It's TPZ zoned, so the tax base of that is discounted. It's subsidized approximately 90% as it is. It's not a huge loss to the county as far as tax revenue goes. All to say, there still need to be a tax agreement, as Hagan mentioned, that whole process. That's kind of our overview picture of that.
So Mr. Jules indicated that he'd like to see the county be the lead agency. We're not prepared to do that?
We're prepared, willing, and able. If it's more work for it, we can definitely handle it.
But don't we charge for permitting or and SMARA inspections currently?
Yes, we do.
We do. And why would you, I guess, with the annexation, I know that opens up a whole other can of worms. Why do you suggest that versus just taking the lead agency?
Just as I mentioned, I think it's more cohesive, cleaner. We haven't been down this road before in the past as far as an agreement with another jurisdiction. Not to say that that's not a viable option. But I would refer to the county council for that process to achieve.
You know, I get where staff is. Excuse me. You know, I think my concern comes back to the overall operation, how we handle things. You know, when we talk about annexation, I think that just adds another layer to this. They're existing, they're operating, you know. Living in the city of Mount Shasta, you know, they have their own capacity issues. It's the only mine that they have, and they're not capable of it. I think Mr. Jewell mentioned they have to go outside. You know, I think it's very plausible to me that since we do manage SMARA, although I was saying we're not really thrilled about that. I mean, we do that because the mine owners wanted us to do it, so the state, if you will. I realize that this is, for me, a unique thing. I don't want to get into annexation one way or another. I don't want to do a reverse annexation. You know, that property, if you look on the left or right, that's, you know, what's going to happen in the future. You know, Spring Hill was, they pushed a sewer out there, I think. And there is potential development, in theory, but it hasn't happened since I've been around. So to annex... to let the city annex more property in, you know, I don't know if that's beneficial one way or another. I would tend to support what Mr. Jewell wants because we do charge for that. It's a cleaner approach in the sense that who knows what happens around that property down the line. And I think that's where the annexation piece comes into it one way or another. So I would support Mr. Jewell's request to just take over the mine only because we do it now. And we would charge for it. You know, he's got to go outside. I'd rather keep that in house. That's one.
Supervisor Howell?
A couple of questions. So, from the conversation and presentation, I guess state law doesn't allow. What's the definition of a man-made boundary? To me, a man-made boundary could be a property boundary or a city or jurisdictional change, but I guess.
It's a physical boundary is what they described it to us as, like something that would physically divide it, railroad bridges.
Okay. And then, so I know, reading through this, I looked at the existing permit, 1996, relied on a negative deck for the issuance of that. Does a new CEQA process reopen the existing facility, and walk me through that, please.
Yes. So it does reopen CEQA. So with CEQA, when you're discussing analyzing a project, it's cumulative impact, so it would have both properties embedded in the new CEQA process. So that's also something to think about. with the county as well, and I don't know how that necessarily works out with having, you know, the county be the lead agency for CEQA over a City of Mount Shasta property. Something to think about, and that would have to be worked out with an MOU or something like that, right?
So I guess two follow-up questions. One, the first is, would the issuance of a new permit on the new piece of AMP property end up encompassing both sites?
Yes, it would encompass both sites, because how, you know, CEQA defines a project, it would be the entire project site, so both parcels in both in, you know, both jurisdictions.
So basically, if we did what's recommended, what you're talking about, the county would be the lead permit team on the piece that's within the city limits.
Yes.
Well,
right.
Bill Carroll, Assistant County Counsel. I had a chance actually to talk with another jurisdiction, or a chat of mine, in three different counties, Nevada, Yolo, and the Lake County. What those counties did, actually, they all had their own individual use permits for each part of the line that was in their part of the county. So they did not really have one master permit, and that might be kind of tricky when it comes to enforcement anyways. But in terms of CEQA, there can only be one CEQA lead agency. And for SMARA, there should be only one SMARA agency as well overseeing things. They don't necessarily have to be the same agency, although apparently the Department of Mining Resources believes they do, and that's their practice. If the county were not to annex and the mine were to apply for a use permit within the county, we're going to be the ones undertaking the work to do the use permit. And to the extent that CEQA, there is a whole project, and on the other side of the boundary, the CEQA responsibilities to analyze the entire site would be within the county, but using the three counties that I just mentioned, they actually did each have their own individual use permit. And further history, they were kind of working it out for a while, but then the Department of Mining Regulations stated they had to have a master SMARA agency. They did go to the state board for a hearing. Lake County actually, or Nevada County actually, ended up being the lead SMARA agency. There was one reclamation plan for all three counties, although then it's very complicated, and even the planner for Nevada said it's very muddy. The counties would kind of take their shots at the reclamation plan within their own counties. So it's very complicated. I think one thing I'd say, there's no annexation. Looking at past example, the two jurisdictions issue their own use permit. There would be just one CEQA agency. If we're the ones opening up the new part of the project, it would probably be realistically for us. There is supposed to be one SMARA agency. If we can't SMARA the agency, if we can't decide, then we would go to the mining board.
So, Mr. Carroll, without annexation, then, to streamline the owners' ability to operate the site, could those details be handled both through an MOU and with the permit details and who's going to inspect that? I'm a little nervous, I guess, about doing the CEQA without the authority to enforce it on another piece of ground.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I assume, the use permit on the Shasta side does have the mitigated negative declaration with it. Probably like another project we're doing that's coming up, it would end up being in consideration of and either directly revised or I admit maybe perhaps there would be a whole new CEQA document to it. And my understanding is, though, that the three jurisdictions that I talk to generally are doing their own enforcement on their own side, even though there are supposedly just one master document. And frankly, I think the details would have to be left to get worked out in the MOU.
Okay. My final question.
If I could just jump in, just sure. Natalie Reed, County Council, and I would like to our office to have probably a little more time to look over this issue, because I know that there are, you know, there are jurisdictions where sometimes, like Yuba and Placer County, where I agree, there's going to be one permitting authority under Public Resources Code 2771. There's going to be one, you know, CEQA lead agency. So we could look into that more closely.
So I guess my question. As an RPF, I'm real familiar with putting timberland in the TPZ, but I'm not very familiar with taking it out. Is that a planning commission function? Does it have to go there? Is it done through the CEQA process, or walk me through that? Because it does affect a re-description of the tax base.
So under the TPZ zone, we do allow for mining with the CUP. So don't believe the applicant would be forced to reason.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a scale mining. Is it a surface mining for locatable mineral and those kinds of things? I mean, because you're basically going to denude the site, and it will not be returned to commercial TPZ for any of our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's really no way for cost recovery of tax base over the period of whatever this permit is. So you're effectively changing the tax base to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can look into that further. Just at this juncture, we hadn't, just because of the uses were called out, but we can look at, you know, the code related to DPZ to see how that's really detailed.
As a county, I don't want to wait 100 years for a tax yield return.
Yeah.
On a TPZ, that makes no sense at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When it does make sense for a commercial operation to pay in some form of property tax on that piece of property.
Okay.
And then my final question, I guess, is should we be lead agency and proceed into CEQA? You know, the negative deck was done in 1996, and I wish we were there regulatorily. We aren't today, so we're looking at an EIS or what are we looking at, and is that a situation where we do a mutual cost-sharing agreement with the proponent?
Yes, based on the project description, it likely would be triggered, an EIR would be triggered, and I'm not sure in terms of cost-sharing with CEQA and how that works out. I'm sure that's something we can look into further to see if that's feasible option.
We've done those arrangements with other large operations in the past. That's why I'm asking.
Okay. Yeah, we'll
enter. And Natalie Reed County Council, often that can be with an applicant where the applicant funds the cost of the EIR.
I'm surprised this. Where's the city of Mount Shasta on this? I mean, I apologize, but I haven't reached out to them, but you know, I would have thought that this would be significant to what they're dealing with.
There's Jeff was supposed to be here today, the new city planner down there. We did meet with him and, you know, ENS and other players a few weeks ago just to discuss, you know, how to move forward. It seemed in that conversation he was amenable to not taking on any SMARA activities because he doesn't have that experience.
Right.
So he was, you know, of course, leaning for the county to take that on. But that was really the only input that was shared from him, so that's all I can speak on.
Okay. Anything on this end? Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, I have a few questions on it. What's being proposed, of course, two main concerns are limit risks to the county, and then staff capacity to be able to capture or do this. So the questions I have for Mr. Reed or Mr. Carroll, I know it's a reputable business that's done this, but if we were to annex the property in the city or whatever, our legal liabilities, legal liabilities in there. In regards to any past practices or future practices, we would be the lead agency. If we did do it, or we took the option of the fourth option, which is we were the lead agency within the city and the lead agency outside the county, outside the city, but with the county, we're the lead agency, our legal liabilities.
So what would come to mind is, to the extent the mine in the future or in the present is out of compliance, you are the enforcement agency, and when you take enforcement actions, sometimes lead to legal disputes.
Any legal liability for previous actions?
As a general matter, public entities are liable for injuries caused by issuance or denial of permits. I can't think of any other.
Yeah.
Bill, do you have any?
Carol, Assistant County Counsel. Well, it also might depend on exactly what we're talking about. When we're talking about some sort of environmental issue with the mine. Well, first of all, they in the first place would be the ones directly responsible for that. They would have the financial assurances, and I think about the McMillan mine and things like that. Eventually, we're the enforcing agency, and we're left holding the bag in terms of having to do something under the reclamation plan, and hopefully the bond is a bond there that covers it.
I know it's a reputable business. These just questions I ask for
general
deals.
Supervisor Chris, are you probing at transference of liability for, say, CERCLA?
The transference of liability is a question that I have on it.
Yeah.
The acronym that used to be, I'm not familiar with. Just wondering if we assume liability.
It's an environmental hazard that's been created on a particular site that can't be remedied by transferring the liability to another entity in the future.
Right.
So say if there was a huge environmental issue on the current footprint, does the county assume that liability, or does that stay with the city?
That's my question.
And I haven't looked at the issue of CERCLA liability, but often that liability can arise if you transfer ownership of a property, and it's strict liability, for all owners. Here, we're just an oversight agency.
I just don't know
how it
pertains
to
the jurisdiction.
Okay. And then the next question, staff capacity. Take on the mine. I saw the options there. The first option I noticed planning the department had was to have the city just assume the lead agency, the whole thing, with regards to staffing capacity or future foreseen capacity to take this on. Is this a...
capacity is not great. It's not terrible. It's pushed harder, obviously.
And that's the thing, if you buy off more than you can chew, are we really delivering where we need to deliver, wherever we are?
Yeah, it's always a challenge.
And just one other thought on liability. Obviously, if you're the CECO lead agency, if you're doing environmental work, then you're the entity that can be challenged on the sufficiency of the EIR.
But we also have the...
the IA.
The what?
The IA, is that what you're referencing?
Well, the county isn't held responsible. We put it on the opponent, whoever they are.
Indemnity.
Indemnity, that's what I'm looking for, yeah. Supervisor Oaker?
Who's doing it now? As far as the inspections?
The City of Mount Shasta is responsible for it. As the property owner mentioned, that they haven't had the capacity, they had to go out and hire their own independent third-party inspection to be done. Which would be, if we had capacity issues, we would have the same option to do.
At our cost.
we would pass the cost on that board.
Anything? Okay. I tend to lean to Mr. Jewell and what he's looking for. It makes sense. I'm not in the annexation thing. If there's a way to circumvent that, because I think that opens up a whole other avenue that we'll all wish we hadn't gone down. So I don't know if that's possible to leave it as it is with the county assuming the lead agency. And I don't know that Mr. Jewell and Susan Readymix have met with you to understand what that potentially is, have they? We haven't gotten that far down the road.
No.
Yeah, cursory we've had meetings, but
nothing though.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, this is to kind of give you direction.
A temperature reading, because obviously, you know, there's a number of routes we can go down. That's going to take a lot of time. So just trying to get an understanding of what.
I'm in support of that as well.
What?
Okay.
So I think you have at least three on the fourth bullet point.
Yep.
To explore that at least and get some of the questions answered.
Sure.
And Supervisor Chris, are you there as well?
Just noticing the staff recommendation here. If it's the wish of the board for the county to become the lead agency, we recommend that the parcel on which Spring Hill Mine is located be annexed to the county. And I think the reason for that is probably because of the tax revenue and the cost to operate it.
Yes.
Now, I just don't want to bite it off, take all the risk, but then not assume any tax benefit for the county for the risk that we're assuming.
So what are you saying? You are more for the annexation? Is that what I'm hearing?
Just to have it explored, yeah. You were saying there's red flags you see there. If it's recommended, there must be a reason why there's not the same red flags.
Yeah. Show me the numbers. I mean, you know, we're already fighting over a couple $100. I mean, you know, it's just another layer of just trying to avoid.
I think the thing that we need to understand is the county tax and the city tax stays same on all land in this county. The only difference is when you're doing annexation, you have an ability to negotiate those rates. But it doesn't matter what Mr. Jewell or Susan Readymix would have on the county land versus city, because we're already getting roughly 22% off the city portion and 22% off of the county portion.
And Bill Carroll, Assistant County Counsel again, and I just want to comment on another reason why staff is looking at annexation is outside of all the tax revenue issues and fairness and cost, just more because it's simpler for administration. We don't have to have MOUs with the city of Shasta or worry about who's the lead agency. It would all just be under the county.
I hear you, but it wouldn't be more efficient for the property owner, because I think that's another level of complication that we can get into with the bureaucracy that's involved. So, I think we're all on.
Yeah, I think I'm at the same position. I think when we talk about annexation, I think that's something to be discussed down the line, particularly with what the city owns there. Who knows what happens 5-10 years down the line? I don't see much happening, but you never know. Again, we open up another can of worms. It just adds another layer of complexity, delays operation. So
you're still sticking with this?
The fourth bullet point.
Yeah. Four.
Yeah.
The fourth bullet point. I think we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
And I realize where staff is with this, but I really would just want to make it straightforward and simplistic to the best that I can.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have what you need?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Jewell, any questions?
No. I think we have a lot of answers to make come up with them.
But that sure. you'll deal with that on the backside. So you'll see what is that in case. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
All right. So with that, we're going to move on to item 6D, County Council.
D is an application for permission to file a late claim from Steve Bourne that was received by the clerk on March 29th. And the late claim arises from the county employees' response to a mud flow event on August 23rd of 2023. The claim references a mix of personal property damage, property damages, and references health impacts from the sale. So the Government Claims Act provides that claims for injury to personal property, for example, other personal item or for injury to persons. For example, if you allege a health impact from an incident, must be filed no later than 6 months after accrual of the cause of action. So here that date would have passed around February 23rd. When a person misses the deadline for filing the claim, the government code provides that the person can request from the board permission to file the claim anyways. The most often used statutory basis for that is mistake, inadvertent, surprise, or excusable neglect. And under those circumstances, the county has to be assured that it wouldn't be prejudiced in its defense by accepting the claim. So at present, the issue before the board is whether to grant leave to file the claim to the extent it needed to be filed earlier. And you are not making a decision on the claim itself. You're not, you know, deciding whether to deny the underlying claim. You're just trying to determine if there's a valid basis to excuse the failure to timely file. So I don't recommend using this forum to investigate the claim or evaluate liability. I would just focus on whether, for example, there was a failure to present the claim for mistake, inadvertent, surprise, or excusable neglect. Here, the claimant has submitted a memo dated March 15th, and it indicates his claim was not earlier filed because, one, he vacated his property for 2.5 months due to the extreme fine dust particles from dried mud that was affecting his family's health, and two, he needed time to investigate drainage patterns. So he doesn't specifically identify any of the circumstances set forth in the government code for late filing. George Hills, in making a recommendation, who was our third-party claims administrator, noted the absence of any reference to a mistake, inadvertent, surprise, or excusable neglect, and noted that the claim was a mixture of property damage, but also personal property damage, and references to health effects, which would be subject to the risk. Does the board have any
questions? So, if I'm hearing this correctly, basically we need to accept or deny.
So, yeah, you have the option to accept the claim for late filing, mm-hmm. in which case George Hills will be told to accept it and they will process it, or you can deny it, or you can take no action at all. If you take no action at all, then by operation of law, it will be denied 45 days. I believe
it's
May
13th. Questions? Clear as mud?
Okay. Are there any comments? I guess you could check to see, is there anyone?
Oh, online, is there any public comment?
Showing none online.
Okay. What's the wishes of the board?
I think all my experience when it comes to this is to do the staff recommendation is to deny it. You know, my problem is if we start accepting it, you open up de facto policy that, I mean, it could be, what's the time period that you allow that? So I'm willing to go with the staff recommendation to deny
all of it.
I have a motion and a second to deny. This is 6D.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsa.
Hi. Item 6E, County Council.
So this is another application for permission to file a late claim. And it, the underlying claim arises from a car accident that occurred on September 19th, 2023 in or about Yuba City, California. The underlying reason for the lateness of the claim that is cited is the late issuance of the traffic report from the local jurisdiction's police department. Our staff has been in contact, and within that police report, it indicated that Siskiyou County is the owner of the vehicle.
Carr County has no record of owning that vehicle and reached out to the other jurisdiction. And my understanding is presently they are working on correcting that report. And so my recommendation would be to continue this item to the next board meeting so that hopefully we have a copy of the corrected report, which negates the underlying, the reason for seeking permission to file a late claim.
Okay. So we're going to continue.
Yes.
Okay. Item 6F.
Item 6F is arising from the same incident and from the same erroneous traffic collision report. And so again, I would request to continue this item to May 21st.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Ms. Wendy, you got that? Continue?
Yes, for both of those.
Recess as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors and convene as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. We're at 7A. This is the time for public comment. Anyone in-house? Seeing no one. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Seeing none online. Item 7B, consent agenda.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second.
Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Cox?
Aye. We'll adjourn as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. And we will reconvene as the Board of Supervisors. And we are at item 8A, County Clerk.
Okay, let's see here. 8A, this is an item that was continued from back at the end of April. It's an appointment of one member to the unscheduled vacancy on the Tenet Community Services District. It's for a short term ending December 4, 2026, and this was due to a resignation of one of the directors. And at this time, only one member is needed in order to establish a quorum for the district. And as I went over back in April, the county clerk did our posting as normal and sent it over to the district for their posting. And we had received a letter of interest from Stephen Lee Adams, and he is eligible, from what I'm able to gather, as a resident and registered voter.
I see you still had Callahan on the worksheet.
Yeah, I just copied over this, but yes, I did put Callahan down in here, but basically Tenet's the same way. Any special district,
that's
they do need to
yeah.
live in the district and fill out a Form 700 statement of economic interest.
No, there is a community meeting in Tenet, would have been last week, and I've received interest from other people going to be on it, so just wanted to put it off and let those people send in their applications and the process.
So
we'll continue.
We're going to continue?
Yeah, okay. Continue. Hmm.
To May 21st?
Yeah, May 21st, please.
Okay.
Item 8B, County Clerk, May 10.
Okay. This one is an unscheduled vacancy on the May 10 Fire Protection District. This is a term ending August 15, 2024, so it is a very short term. And this is due to Dietmar Carley's resignation. Again, we did the posting as we normally do, as well as sending it over to the district. And at the time the worksheet was created, we did receive a letter of interest in serving on the district board from Tim Louie, who is eligible to serve as a registered voter and residing within the district. He's the only applicant at this point.
Okay. I'd make the recommended motion to, or recommend Tim Louie.
Second.
All right. Supervisor Hell?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsett?
Aye. Item 9A, minute approval.
I've received no corrections for those.
Move to approve.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cox?
Aye.
Thank you.
We're at item 10, public hearings. And the first one, 10A, is public hearing for second reading of ordinance of County of Siskiyou adding Title II Administration, Chapter 40, Contractor Debarment, Sections 2-40.01 through 2-40.34. Take it away, Ms. Nielsen.
Thank you. Good morning, Board. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. The purpose of the ordinance in front of you today is to have a comprehensive contracting process. and to help ensure that that we contract with those who will provide the most, the best and most forthright services to the county and to the public. This ordinance outlines a process to debar a contractor for a range of valid reasons, including providing untrue or misleading information, being fraudulent, theft, failing to comply with or disregarding terms of a contract, and violating law, amongst others. This version does include edits that were read into the record during the first reading of the ordinance, and with that, I recommend that the board approve this ordinance.
Okay. Thank you. Presentation of correspondence.
The clerk's office has received no correspondence.
Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Nothing. Nothing online. Nothing in-house. Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Anyone online?
Showing them online.
None online. Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
Public comment? In-house? I don't see anyone in-house. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
So there's no rebuttal by proponents and no rebuttal by opponents. And we can close this, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And bring it back to the board for any discussion or action. I have a motion to a recommended motion. Is that approved? Yep, in a second.
We do have, okay.
Yeah.
Supervisor Hough?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogre?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cox?
Aye.
Thank you.
For item 10B, Community Development Planning, continued public hearing for second reading of ordinance reclassifying land in the unincorporated area of Weed from non-prime ag 2 to non-prime ag 40-acre minimum. Bernadette.
Thank you. Bernadette Susan, Associate Planner. So the McMahon Zone Change Project was a proposal to rezone 14 acres from non-prime ag to non-prime ag with a 40-acre minimum parcel size and 6 acres from non-prime ag to 40-acre minimum parcel size to non-prime ag in order to facilitate a boundary line adjustment to consolidate all lands improved for the ranch on a single parcel. No new comments were received, and planning staff is recommending approval of the zone change and determining the project exempt from CEQA. There is a recommended motion in the agenda worksheet. Thank you.
Presentation of correspondence.
The clerk's office received one additional, not really correspondence, but notification letter that was unable to be sent or did not, it got returned to us.
Okay.
Michaela Shar was the name on that.
Okay. Presentation of reports, arguments, or evidence by staff of other county departments or public agencies. Anyone in-house? Online?
Showing them online.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? None. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Okay. Opponents, arguments, and or evidence. Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Online?
Showing none online.
Public comment. Anyone in-house? Anyone online?
Showing none online.
There's no rebuttal by proponents and no rebuttal by opponents. Then we can close the hearing and bring it back to discussion or action by the board. And I'll second it.
And that's the recommended motion, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsaf?
Aye. Thank you. So we'll go to board and staff reports and staff reports. Anybody, anything new out there that we need to know about? Doesn't look like it. Board reports? Anyone?
Sure. Yesterday I attended the County Economic Development quarterly meeting. Also went to McLeod for SORA, had their SNC funded opening round. What was it specifically? I think it was
South County Recreation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Sorry. So many things. Our LTC director, Mr. Cummings, was there.
Awesome.
So, you know, we can coordinate some things. Well attended, I would say. So.
And I said that's great, so I can.
And then I will immediately, after this meeting, I'll be heading down south to Yosemite Western Interstate Region for National Association of Counties is having their meeting. Thank you.
The 20th was Firefighter of the Year Awards dinner, and we were in Weaverville on the 25th and 26th for the North Coast Resource Partnership quarterly meetings, and the 27th was the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation dinner, hugely successful. And then we were in Tule Lake on the 30th for our special Tri-Counties meeting. And that's it.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, just going through. If you can come back.
Yeah, sure. I attended the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation dinner as well, and the firefighter dinner as well. That's about it.
I can just add one more thing. So this past Tuesday, instead of, and I apologize for not making the special board meeting in the Planet Falls, I was actually down in Sacramento for PRISM for a meeting. I'm on the primary workers comp committee meeting and getting indoctrinated in the world of PRISM. It's fascinating to the extent of what we pay in premiums. I'll share that with you down the line, but it does have an effect on our budget. So,
Supervisor Howe.
Yeah, I attended the firefighter annual dinner, recognition dinner, and then followed Supervisor Kopsack and Supervisor Ogren to the NRA dinner, which was held on the same night.
So
we made two events.
Was that a meeting or a dinner?
Dinner.
Both of them. I also attended the RMEF, Rocky Mountain Health Foundation banquet. And then on the 17th and 18th, I spoke those two days at a fire symposium in Reading, and there were a couple of forensic fire inspectors there from Cal Fire who retired, who have been working with the state legislature on Cal Fire's new rules for assessing homes in the LUI, and some of the things coming down. Pretty interesting in that rather than just canceling insurance, one of the things that insurance companies are looking at is a 5-category risk assessment based on the parameters of how you treated your home in the way. And so expect that to come out, I think, in probably the next legislative session going down there. And it was a very informative conference, and there was a videographer there who's going to make all this available.
And then the North Coast Resource Partnership meeting, Klamath ESA meeting, and then the McLeod Zone of Increased Benefits. That's working really well. That contract that the Zone of Increased Benefits has with the McLeod CSD for fire benefit is working out really well down there. Siskiyou Firefighter of the Year, Friends of the NRA. This one I got to be the treasurer of it for the first year they had a deep ballot. And then Dare graduation of Little Shasta Elementary. And then yesterday, Deep Valley Groundwater Sigma meeting. I'm going to use that acronym. Now, that plan will be coming back and forth to the board. Be revised. It was rejected by the state, the original one. It'll be revised by that advisory board. And then the recommendations will come back to this full board. First decide on fairly soon.
Was that the Butte Valley groundwater?
Butte Valley groundwater, that's great.
Okay, with that, do we have lunch coming? We do. And then Supervisor Val, we don't want to get on the road, but we might wait for your lunch. We're going to recess until 1:30.
Your closed session was completed.
Yes.
No additional.
Yes.
Okay.